Thank you for joining Bad Talk Podcast. We have a building session. And I call it a building session because it was an impromptu building session between me and a friend of mine, a great friend of mine, an author, a apparel owner, a podcast owner, just an all-around, decent, human being, father, friend, Moisey Michelle, so affectionately known as Mo, I call him Mo. So we sat down and we just built, and we recorded the session, and this is part of Dad Talk Podcast for today. So basically, we're building off of, us acknowledging some things that, we kind of grew up with, acknowledging our wrongs trying to build on this conversation of how we can be better as men and how the world sees us and how we see the world and our position in the world, and basically how can we be better fathers, friends, relatives, the whole nine. So it's a building session between two black men working on correcting our wrongs, but also working on figuring out, just having that conversation between brothers, and getting a better understanding, because the narrative has been too long that we just don't get along, that it's black on black crime, it's black men not wanting to be there for their kids, deadbeat dads, hyper sensitive to the point where we're always angry, looked at in a bad light. So what we wanted to do is just kind of give you our take on it, and kind of express it and speak about some things that we happen to go through and some revelations that we've kind of came to grips with, and understanding that, everything comes down to, it boils down to, as you think, so shall you be. So we've put a couple of things to rest as far as, a couple of debates. So it's kind of controversial also, but it's from a male's perspective is how we see these things. So sit back, relax, take some time to listen to this building session in sections. And thank you again for allowing us this platform for Dad Talk Podcast to bring you this particular building session.
Yeah, we cut into what we was talking about
last week. Right? Being a father.
Yeah, so, let's just kind of expound on what we were talking about. We're going to cut all this stuff up and try to, remix it, make it look like something. But, far too long has always been, it's been this cycle, where, you have kids, you may separate, and then there's some beef between the mother and the father of the child, and then the child gets mixed up, is in the middle of all of it, So whatever the father feels for the mother and vice versa, what the mother feels for the father, the child is in the middle and going to feel kind of confused on where they should land in their feelings. And I bring it from a personal standpoint. My dad, when he did show up, he would take us out, and every time he'd take us out, he'd bring us back, right? And bring us back with BB guns, right? So my mom would take the BB guns and throw them in the trash or throw them in the closet or whatever, like immediately.
We don't need that.
Right. So we always like, well, what, what's the problem, Mom? Like, you know, we didn't know what their history, though. We had no clue what their history was, but we was just happy that, oh, he came around. So two times after that, he just stopped coming around, you know. And every time she would come around, we'll be happy, but then she would put a damper on it. And we didn't know, because we were so young, we had no clue what type of relationship they had, you know, prior to us even realizing, until like later, like years later, until we were adults, that we figured out why she was so upset with him, you know. But as you get older and, you know, things change, especially if the relationships can find a balance and a balance of peace, that we can kind of grow from it and not, you know, become the product of that. And I think the product of it is worse. I became angry, you know, growing up, because I would see my dad down the street, but he wouldn't come pick me up and spend time with me. So it caused me to be angry and to really act out, you know. So the conversation that we were having was, when that light bulb went off for me, being a single dad and having two kids, an older daughter, 19, and a 15-year-old son, and seeing that dynamic play out in my life in real time, that my son was beefing with his mom. And I figured out that can't be healthy for him to beef with his mom, the first woman that he's ever known that brought him into this world. So I was like, man, it's my responsibility to go talk to him and to bring that relationship kind of back together and mend that relationship and show him and be an example and say, you know what? You ain't got to go through life feeling some type of way about it. I need to come in and fix that, because you just never know what will happen, you know, that he may mistreat another woman in his life because he does not have that type of relationship with his own mother, you know. So I looked at it, and I looked years down the road, and I said, what are the implications from him being upset with his mother? How will he treat any other woman
down the road? Yeah.
Yep. So it's important that we as men create that foundation and solve that issue, you know, whenever we can, is to be the example and to show, hey, this is how you handle it as a man. This is what you should expect, especially when we're talking to our daughters also.
That's true. That's a fact.
This is what you should expect from a man. Because if they see a man in your immaturity, you're immature, they're going to probably get that type of immature man if you don't correct it yourself. You have to be the leader. You have to be a role model. You have to show them the way. So we were talking about it. So kind of talk about how you dealt with that conversation.
Well, you see, I'm glad you, I think it was last week, I'm glad you had shared that with me, because look how your experience, you was able to drop some gems on me, because when I had told you my situation where I had went and picked up my daughter, picked up from school, then we stopped by her crib to grab her belongings, and her mom was sitting on the porch. I never got out my seat to go salute the woman, right? And the only time I got out the car was to grab my daughter's belongings and put it in the car, and when I told you that, you was like, nah, you got to switch that out. You got to apologize. And at first, when you told me that, you know, at first I was taken aback. But when I sat, you know, when I sat there, good thing I was listening with my heart, because I realized a lot of times, you know, when people listen with their ears, they're not really listening. When you truly listen, you listen with your heart. And I was able to break down what you said, and I looked at it from a third eye point of view. And I'm like, yo, big bro's right. So the rest of the week, I had it in my mind. I'm like, I gotta apologize to the mother. So Friday, I went to pick up my daughter. And then when I did it, her mom wasn't sitting on the porch this time, but she was inside. So what I did was I went to the front door with my daughter. I think my daughter opened the door, and I told her, call your mom, tell her to come outside. So my mom came in the door, and I spoke to the both of them. And I was like, you know what? First and foremost, I want to apologize. I apologize to the mom. Like, first, I'm going to apologize to you, because I came to your domain and I didn't get out my car to salute you, which was a sucker shit on my part. You know what I mean? As a man, I'm not supposed to do that. I apologize to my daughter. I told my daughter, this is not how a man is supposed to act. Right. So by me doing that, this can cause you to find a man who will do the same exact thing. And I went deeper down, and I was basically telling the mom and my daughter like how I was using excuses not to mend things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm the older person in this scenario, and I'm going to start acting like it. And from here on out, we teammates.
Right.
We were teammates from the day I got you pregnant.
Well, right.
So from here on out, we're going to figure this out. You know what I mean? I don't care if you got problems with me. We're going to have to put our problems to the side, and we're going to have to discuss. And then all she said was, okay, cool. And then she turned around and went back inside. But you know what? I couldn't even get mad because I looked at it as a fact that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? She just paying me back for what I did the previous week. Mm-hmm. I had no qualms, but I felt great.
Right.
I felt great because I know your big bro told me to do that. And me doing that, I felt like a boulder mm-hmm. got off my shoulders. And I was like, you know what? That's my growth. Mm-hmm. That's my evolution. My evolution as a man. And you had told me another thing. You had told me, be the man I want my daughter to date.
True.
Once you spit those gems to me, I'm like, yo, that's supposed to be on the shirt.
Right.
Be the man you want your daughter to date. I'm like, you know what? Say no more. Like, say no more.
Right.
You know what I mean? I took heed to that. So it's like, yo, like to all the kings out there, all the gods out there, I'm like, yo, listen, if you got a brother, you got someone you confide in, and they could share some gems and knowledge, yo, please take heed to that.
Right.
You know, we're not each other's enemies at the end of the day, man. As melanated men, mm-hmm. we're supposed to be able to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we got to cuss each other out. Sometimes that's the way we got to make our point across. So, like, when you shared that with me, man, that was, like, the biggest thing. Like, I'm forever grateful that you even told me that, because when you broke it down to me and I was seeing it from your point of view and your mm-hmm. standards, and then you going through your situation with your son, I'm like, you know what, man? Yo, OG right, man. And I just took heed to it, and I pushed forward, and I feel better ever since that moment. I feel better about it.
That's good, man. And you know, it takes some time and self-reflection where when you start to think, where did I go wrong? Or what part of my life went wrong that sent me down this road, you know, sent me down this way of thinking, you know? When you want better for yourself and you want better for your kids, remember, we don't have a pamphlet. No one really has a pamphlet or a playbook of how to parent.
Parent 101?
You know, not at all. So we kind of like flying by the seat of our pants or grabbing knowledge and being open to some type of understanding from here to there and everywhere. But affairs of the heart are tricky. You know, you could have all the knowledge in the world and try to apply it, but when it comes to the affairs of the heart, is a totally different story,
that's
you know,
a fact.
Because that other person has that remote control and knows how to push your buttons, man.
That's true.
You can deal with anyone else in the world, but they know how to press them particular buttons.
That's a fact.
So now you got to come with looking at being selfless, not even thinking about yourself, not thinking about your ego. Your ego got to go.
Got to go.
Because the thing is, you're trying to attack a problem that has always been a problem, but you can't attack it the same way that you would anything else, you know, and especially dealing with your kids, because I tried a couple of times. I'm a come from the heart standpoint. I'm a be hard. I'm a give them hard love. But you have to understand is that kids are different. They may come from you, but may not be like you. At all.
Totally opposite from you. Totally opposite from you. And you know, to corroborate what you just said is I realized like when I was raising my children, primarily my boys, I was harsh. You know, I punched them in their chest.
Mm-hmm.
I'll cuss them out, berate them, emasculate them. I never realized I was emasculating my sons.
Right.
By telling them, oh, toughen up, mm-hmm. stop crying.
Right.
Like that's emasculation. Why are you telling the young man not to advocate crying? It's okay to cry. And like for us men, we don't realize we frown upon it because we don't want to be vulnerable.
Right.
Not realizing it's okay to be vulnerable. So this whole time I realized when I was raising my boys, mm-hmm. I was raising them to be toxic men. Mm-hmm. As I was getting older and started getting more knowledge in myself, I'm like, right. Damn, I was raising my boys like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I was raising them for their detriment, their own detriment. So it's like, imagine I done put like over 10 plus years of bad education in my children's head. So now me trying to reverse all that, like by the books I'm reading, by the videos I'm watching on YouTube. So more times than not, what I would do, whatever I'm imparting knowledge, I would share with my boys and tell them like, yo, check this out. And I'm like, yo, listen, take your time. You don't gotta watch it right then and there. You don't gotta read this book right then and there. You got forever.
Right.
Whenever you done, holler at me so me and you could break it down, chop it down, break it down. So it's like, you know what I mean? As I'm gaining knowledge itself, my children see a change in me. Mm-hmm. They see a change in me as a parent and as a human being. Mm-hmm. So like, that's why I'm quick to say like, yo, us, our generation, we the generational curse breakers. Because mm-hmm. our parents, they raised us with trauma, but they didn't know.
Right.
Because they never dealt with their trauma. Mm-hmm. Their parents raised them with trauma.
Right.
They didn't know, you know what I mean? Vice versa. So it's my job, like, I don't want our children to have the traumas we had, because we had a shitload of trauma, man. Like, man.
Yeah. And then, you know, the thing is that we got to take everything and we got to flip it upside down sometimes. And we got to take a look at it, take a step back and look at the bigger picture. So I always look at it like this. When we were growing up during the era where you had to go hard, you know, you had to have no feelings and you had to be heartless. And then you say, okay, majority of us emulated that thug, right? Emulated that G that we figured that, okay, we want to be this way. But we miss that. We miss the whole point. Think about the mob boss, right? Yeah. That everybody wanted to be like the mob boss. Now, was the mob boss out there on Front Street?
No.
Was he the one really putting in work?
No, was insulated.
Yeah. So the rest of them was the crash test dummies. They was out there running crazy, running amok, right? But you wanted that type of feeling as far as reputation in the street,
yeah.
reputation with others.
Yeah.
So you wanted to rule with fear and not love. So what lasts longer? Does fear or love last longer? Which
love.
One, you know?
Love
so longer. If you had that respect, what they had, that song, Money, Power, Respect,
yeah.
right? That's flipped on the side of his head too, because I don't care how much money you have, you know, power and respect can go hand in hand.
That's
but
true.
If someone respects you, you know, if they really respect you, they're going to fear you, they're mm-hmm. going to love you, and they're going to know where to put you because they have that ultimate respect. But respect will come with the show of force and power, but ultimately is morals that come down to it. You know, if they don't respect you, then, or if they do respect you, there's a moral construct there. That's why they respect you. Whether it's they know what the consequences may be, or they respect you for you keeping your word and being a stand-up person. So if you the mob boss and you say, hey, I am here to earn respect, people understand that they put all of those things together. They know that, hell, if I disrespect them, he gonna kill me. If I steal from him, he gonna kill me. It's just what he has set, you know, as, you know, what goes before him. His whole reputation goes before him, but he ain't gotta actively keep putting in the work. You see him and you understand his code of ethics and him as a G, because whether it's the people out there in front of him doing the work or whether it's just what you have heard of this particular person. And at the same time, being a G and controlling that narrative is how your essence, how you build your essence within you. It's almost like, I always use this as an example. You walk in a room, and you see thousands of people in the room, right? And you standing in the same room, and then one person comes through the door, and everyone goes,
everybody stop and see.
They stop and look at that person. What is it about that person that embodies that G that gets people's attention? You know, what is it? It's almost like when you face off with somebody, you know by just their eyes, you know by their body language, are they serious or not?
That's true.
Am I going to fuck with this person or not just by their whole aura? So everything that's within you comes out. So do we teach our kids to be reckless or to become a G? And what does it take to be a G? What does it take to gain and earn respect amongst people. How to handle people is the respect that we give them, that we, you know, that we pour into them respectful things, and then we be the better example of that, because that old saying, do what I say not what I do. It doesn't work that way with kids. They're gonna look at you, and at the same time, actions speak louder than words, and you can become a hypocrite within your kids' eyes. So you don't want that to happen, because now your respect factor starts to tank. So what do? We have to embody all of those things that is representative of a G. We have to do, and they have to follow what we do, and we have to be the ones that are going to lead. So how do we get in that leadership role? We got to look at it and say, you know what? If I expect for my son and my daughter to respect me, respect their mom, be a respectable person out here in the community, they have to move a certain way, and they have to see it. I have to model that. I have to be that person that's going to model that. So then that way they'll say, hey, my father, my mother, they did it. You know, they were able to kind of squash that beef. My dad told me it was okay, you know. And my dad told me that as a man, I don't care what it is, you rise above all of those situations, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't lay down here and be in Pettyville. You got to rise above it, you know. You got to rise above it, you know.
And why are we so petty towards each other? Like, as parents, like, why are we so petty towards each other? Like, because when the going was good in the beginning,
we was
smashing each other's guts out. We was... You know what I mean? We was all into each other. We was enthralled with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we was having a blast. But now when the baby's born, like, we can't stand each other.
It's a problem, man, that a lot of us go through, man, you know?
Is it because the toxic traits started to appear in one another? Maybe, you know,
it all depends, though. It just all depends on how you met this person. You know, did you really have all of these things in common? Or was it just what it looked like? You know, and then once now that you settle down and you had to get to know this person, now all of these qualities start coming out. They always say is that you don't never truly know someone unless you live with them, you know? You are literally living with them, because now you are having to cohabitate and do all of these things to take care of another living soul. Now you are more intertwined, because before you had the kid, it was easy to separate the two. You go your way.
I go my way.
I'm not worried about that. You know, but now that you know that you share a kid together, that all of these other qualities start to show, you know. So you start to live with someone, now you see their bad habits. You start to be around them, now you can really figure out what they're going through in their mind and how, you know, whether it's toxic or whatever, you will see that, you know, front and center, you know. So that has something to do with it, is just, you know, going too quick, you know, getting together too quick, not really waiting to get to know that person fully, and then also seeing how well you guys mesh, you know, and who can be the problem solver or who can be the voice of logic, you know.
Voice of reason,
you know.
Yeah.
And if you immature, she's immature, y'all just going at, you know.
The child pays a price, because I feel like the child is picking up the energy of both parents. So, like, whatever energy you portray towards the mother, that child is going to portray that same energy towards the mother, and whatever the energy and vice versa. Like, I the mom.
So go back to when you was in the car.
Okay, when I was in the car, right, and after I apologized to her mom. I apologize.
Prior to that, because you was talking about the energy that the kid can pick up.
Oh yeah, the energy, because and then when my daughter came back with her book, I got out. I put so it
you
in.
Was, you was, he was dropping his daughter off.
Yeah, I was dropping my, the house. Yeah, I was. Yeah, yeah, I was. I was bringing her to her mom. She picked up her belongings.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say nothing to the mom. I got out the car, grabbed her belongings, and so while we driving, and my daughter asked me how come I didn't say nothing to her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just telling her, my daughter, like, yo, listen, as you can already attest, me and your mom, we really not on good terms.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I understand that. And she's like, is it because my mom still hold a grudge against you? Mind you, I didn't really know if her mom was still holding a grudge for a particular situation that happened last year when the mom wanted me to have it for 2 weeks. But I had to run out of town real quick to go check on my mom because, you know, my mom have health issues from time to time. So I ran down there to go check on my mom. But she thought I was using that excuse. And if I was using an excuse, that's my mother.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's your daughter's, that's our daughter's grandmother. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you want me to check on our daughter's grandmother to make sure she's okay? Because my daughter loves her grandma. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was just breaking down. But you know what I do with my daughter? I don't demean her mother to her. I just say, I always tell her whenever I'm talking to my daughter, I'm like, yo, me and your mom, we just have issues. We have our own problems. And she's like, is there anything I can do? I'm like, no, baby. I'm glad you asked, but there's nothing you can do because that's a situation that me and your mom created. Me and your mom got to figure it out. But she's like, I don't like when y'all, you know what I mean, y'all don't speak to each other. I'm like, I understand that, but at this moment in time, I don't know how to correct that because your mom feels some type of way about me. I still have a little, you know what I mean, a little hurt towards, you know what I mean? I still have a little pain towards your mom, but when I did what I did last Friday, mm-hmm. that was like the first big step because now, while I'm heading home this time, it was a totally different ballgame. My daughter was like, yo, she was proud of me that I apologized to your mom. And I asked her how she felt about her mom's reaction. She's like, well, Dad, don't pay mom no mind because, mm-hmm. you know, mom's petty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Don't say that about your mother. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I don't want you to talk bad about your mom. Right. But she's like, Dad, but it's true. Mom is petty to me. I'm like, yo, I understand, baby girl, right. but like, you know what? You got to speak highly of your mother.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, that's your mother. She mm-hmm. carried you. I didn't carry you.
True.
So you know, I don't want you to speak bad about your mother to nobody, not even me.
Right.
Me as your father, even though I know your mother before you. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to do that because right. now I don't want to create a tension with her and her mother and I had something to do with it.
Right.
You know
so
what I mean?
Now that's going to carry over. Because now you're setting the stage for what it looks like to respect on all ends.
Right.
So you checked her when she's like, oh, she petty. But before that time, she could pick up on the vibe and say, well, Dad ain't giving her that much attention.
That's a fact.
And she's complaining and upset every time that I see Dad and I come home. She's mad because Dad's not giving me that type of, giving her that type of respect. So, yeah, it does, you know, wipe off on the kids. But now you are changing that narrative because you're no longer in that mode of disrespect.
That's
so
true.
It is very necessary that we change the narrative, you know, is that our actions have to speak louder than words.
Facts.
And we have to change the narrative.
Facts.
And then we could, you know, eliminate some of that stuff in the household, whether we are there or not. We can still eliminate that because now you all are creating a national front. Mom and Dad are now agreeing on what is important. And what's important is the cultivation of this young mind, you know. So they don't come out saying, oh, I came from a broken home, you know.
That's the biggest excuse.
Yeah, I came from a broken home and this is this. But you are now fixing that. And you're now making them more stable and understand that this is how a man is supposed to be. This is how a woman is supposed to be. Yeah, we don't get along or we didn't get along, but for the sake of you, you're that important that we're going to drop all of that stuff and we're going to be mom and dad, man and woman.
Facts.
And give you that and show you that we respect you and we respect each other. You know, it's a hard thing to do. I'm not saying that it's easy because there may be history between that man and that woman that makes it very hard for them to model that. But at the end of the day, you have to think about how are you going to grow your seed? How are you going to, you know, water your seed the right way for your seed to grow up to be respectful, responsible, you know, the whole nine, you know, where we miss out is that we figure, oh, she got it. We don't even pour into none of that. As long as I see my kid, I'm
that's
good.
All that matters.
You know, that's all that matters, but we're doing a disservice to ourselves and
big
to
time.
Our kids.
Big
you know.
Time.
So, you know, this is very important for, you know, all the fellas out there that have that issue, and there's a lot of us that have
a whole lot.
Issue,
there's more of us than the There's more of us than anything.
Right. So what we have to do, we have to address it, is kind of like get that up off of us, because that's a burden that we're wearing. Like, man, I don't even want to talk to her. I don't even want to attack it. You know, I don't even want to talk to her because she's going to get the arguing, get the yelling. I ain't got time for that. But then that beckons, it asks the man, how much of a man are you if you're going to run away from that situation? And then your kids are looking at you, and your kids are like, well, he's a sucker because he's running away from a petty little argument that he thinks is going to happen between me and mom. You know, how much of a man is he if he's scared to actually interact with her? So you got to understand, now you have now taken your manhood and you have, you know, knocked yourself down a couple of notches when you say you don't even want to approach or even have a conversation with this woman because you fear it is going to turn into an argument. You know, you're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be the man.
Well, yo, big bro, what was we shy? Was we scared when it was time to put that baby in him? Was we shy when it was time to knock the boots? You know what I mean? Knock the, you know what I mean?
Right.
All in the guts. Was we shy? He's far from shy. We ain't have no stage fright. We were trying to jump in head first.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Without
goggles or any of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think that's, you know, for far too long, I just feel like us as fathers, a lot of us been using excuses, saying that, oh, we don't want no smoke with the mother.
Right.
But, you know, more times than not, sometimes we got to face that smoke. We got to go to the smoke. We got to walk into that fire. Because this is not for us. This is for the child. Like, we as fathers, more times than not, we fail to realize that, like, whatever our actions are, how we move, it affects our child by every step of the way. We don't think that. Like, yo, when you get incarcerated, you don't think it don't affect your child. When you get locked up, you don't think it affect your child. When you do something stupid, every action you commit, whether good or bad, it affects the child, whether it's going to be in a positive manner, whether it's going to be in a negative manner. So we got to, like, I tell a lot of people, like, I don't live for myself no more. You know what I mean? Because my life, I'm not saying my life is over, but the times where I had to play and do all that, it's over. Now it's time to be serious and be that man I'm supposed to be, hold it down for my family, make sure that everybody's straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't be that same mo that I was in the streets, on the corner, thinking I'm about to sell this and that, trying to rob cash, trying to do all the nonsense I was doing back in the days. Nah, I'm an evolving man. I'm ever evolving. I don't think I'm going to stop evolving until I transition from this earth.
Right.
Because I feel like you don't stop working on yourself till you leave this earth. So it's like the job ain't done. Far from done, man. I got so much work to do on myself. I got so much work to do, you know, doing myself to help my children. Because how can I love my children if I don't love self?
True.
I have to love self first and foremost. So I had to start to realize I had to start loving on me first. And me loving on me, man, allows me to love my children even more.
Right.
With more appreciation, more gratitude, and things of that nature.
And then you have to ascend into manhood. You know,
sure.
As a child, we thought and acted like a child.
I
but
sure.
As we got older and became men, we had to put childish things away.
Facts.
So when you look at somebody and you say, oh, he's a man. By what stature? By age? By height? By weight? What type of man? How would you characterize a man? It only has to do with his actions.
Facts.
How he acts and how he is either mature or immature, you judge a man by his character.
Mm-hmm.
And they all are wrapped up in there, but
Facts. You
have to now disassociate yourself with all of these childish things in order for you to become that man, you know? And then you can't get mad at your kid if you are exhibiting the same things that they're exhibiting as kids. You know, you pouting, you getting upset. So back to the car scene, you pouting, you mad, you like, man, I'm not talking to her. Nope, I ain't talking to her. I'm gonna sit in the car. All right, see you later, baby.
I'm teaching my daughter how to
you
be with her own mother.
Right. You are now still in an immature state. But as a man, you say, man, I'm putting that childish stuff away. I'm stepping out the car, head held high. Hey, how you doing? Have a good weekend. You know, and walk your daughter to the door.
Yeah.
and have that talk. So we transition, you know, as you think, so are you. And that's another one. As a man thinketh, so is he. Mm-hmm. So if you're sitting there pouting and upset, what have you become? Mm-hmm. You know, when we say that men are seven, women are sixes, that we have ultimate control of our emotions. Women are emotional.
That's true.
And we are complete. We're supposed to be complete and godlike, right?
Yep.
So we have to now be able to control that cipher, control the universe around us, control what is going on, and especially not be emotional, but we have to lead and be the head of the household, the head of thought, the role model. So we can't have these other characteristics that if you took all of these characteristics and you were building a person, none of those attributes should be within us. So we couldn't sit there and be pouty and upset and like, man, that's not what a man's supposed to do, you know? So we start to separate those things. And it's just like when we get older. Yep. And as we get older and we start looking back and we say, man,
what the hell was I thinking? And the funny thing about it, now we go back to our parents and we tell our parents, like, yo, you was right. Remember this moment, that moment, that moment. Like, yo,
right.
I should have listened to you at that moment. Right. But, you know, lesson learned. Mm-hmm. And like I said earlier, go back to my boys. Mm-hmm. The way I was raising this young man, like, now it's conversations. We having deep, introspective conversations, yeah, I'm having with these young men. And, like, to hear how their mind is moving, it makes me proud, because I'm like, yo, the generation behind us, they brilliant. Mm-hmm. They brilliant. Like, I feel like we got to keep on working and leave a blueprint behind, mm-hmm, for our children so they could be their greatest selves. Because to me, I want our children to be greater than us. Because, mm-hmm, if they're not greater than us, I feel like we failed them.
Right.
As parents, I feel like, yep, we failed them.
And then, you know, the other thing is communication and being able to be that person that can communicate effectively.
Yeah.
You know, our thing is, oh, I'm going to punch in your mouth, I'm going to stab you, I'm going to shoot you. That's how I'm going to communicate me being upset.
Wow.
You know, let's go back to that G form. Let's go back to that mafia boss. He puts people, you know, in their place, and he's just sitting there calm. He's real calm with it. He understands in his mind how he's going to handle it, but at that time, he's handling it very, very calm. What is it doing to the next person? It's putting them in a mode of being calm also, because if he rah-rah and mad about it, he can't communicate effectively, and that other person is not going to listen to him. You know, it's how you approach the situation. Now, he can give you everything in a calm manner the same way somebody toting a gun in your face can give you. Same exact, but just a different way of how it's coming out.
Not to cut you off, big bro. I got an OG who told me, well, is it fair to say that it's better to respond than react?
True.
In those certain situations, mm-hmm, better to respond than react. Because I realized there was times when my daughter's mother would say something. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't respond, I would react. Even though words was coming out of my mouth from, mm-hmm, my reaction, but my reactions was hostile. Mm-hmm. Now I realize I can react now. Now I can respond. And I can respond in a calm, like, decent manner. Because even when the mother turned her back on me after she said, oh, okay, cool, mm-hmm, I was cool with it.
Right.
I didn't cuss her out, because I could be easy to say, you know what I mean? You done? I'm telling you, I'm apologizing to you, and you taking my apology for a joke? Nah.
Right.
I had to be empathetic in that situation. Mm-hmm. I had to put myself in her shoes. I had to play devil advocate for her. Yep. And realize, I'm like, yo, I put it in that place for her to do that to me. So she has every right to turn her back, just tell me, okay, cool, and keep it pushing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, at first I was like, you know what, if she come back and want to talk to me, I'm not going to say nothing. I'm like, nah, stop that. You being petty now. I had to talk to myself. I'm like, yo, you being petty now.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
We leaving this petty phase. That's why you apologize for, because you was petty. It was your pettiness that got you into the face to apologize.
Right.
Stop the pettiness. You was using an excuse, oh, you didn't want that smoke. Negro, please.
Right.
The way you love smoke, coming from Brooklyn, you ran to the smoke.
Right.
Now you don't want the smoke? Come on, son. Like, I had to talk to myself like that. I'm like, you bugging, bro. Uh-huh. Like, you the way you love smoke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You stop playing, man. You just didn't apologize. Yeah. And when I felt great. You know what I mean? And anybody need an apology? What's so funny, that apology made me, like, these past few days, I've been reaching out to people where I felt where, like, we had a, I don't know what happened, we had a shift in our friendships. Mm-hmm. I reached out to these same folks to apologize.
Wow.
And I told them, yeah, I reached out to, like, 6-7 people that was near and dear to me at one point or another. Like, there's one chick I wrote a book with. Mm-hmm. I reached out to her. I apologized because I know the part that I played in. I wasn't expecting an apology from her because she played a part too, but I realized that more times than not, a lot of people are not ready to apologize. Mm-hmm. They had to go through their trauma, they had to go through their situation to realize that you deem apology. And I already took it out of my mind. Don't expect the apology. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The apology is going to come when you least expect it.
True. True.
When you least expect it. Like, I had an ex apologize to me, and I, yo, when I was with her, and this was eons ago, I always wanted to apologize because I felt she did me dirty. Mm-hmm. When she finally, she apologized last week, and we were just talking, shooting the shit, just building. Mm-hmm. We were speaking on spirituality, and she came out of nowhere and was like, yo, I apologize. And when she apologized for what I wanted the apology for, mm-hmm. I accepted it wholeheartedly because I know over the years, it took her years to process that. When she processed that, I felt the apology coming straight from her heart. Wow. I felt that was a heart chakra.
Yep. And so he who controls the mind can soften the heart.
Precisely.
And, you know, and can condition the conversation, can control the situation and the conversation. But where the mind goes, the body shall follow. So we have to think of it is that it's a mind, heart, and body thing, you know, is that it's an energy thing. You said
it is.
Control that chakra, protect
your energy. Right?
So how do we protect our energy? You know, we have to be thinking men and women at all times, you know, is that we should understand that words are very powerful. They carry vibration, right?
Yeah.
That whatever that you use, it can become flesh. Thoughts become flesh.
Yep.
Thoughts become everything. So down to your body language, how you standing, you know, whatever you are thinking is going to control all of this, you know, whether you look at like, oh man, you know, I'm about to, it's all here, you know, it's all here. So once you start to change your mindset, start to elevate your mindset, you start to change the game and be able to get a better result. Not saying that it's going to control every result in every situation, but at least you can control your own mind and then be able to somehow control that conversation between you when you know that it's all for the better. You know, you can't express that you want to change or you want to change this whole conversation in this relationship if you bark it, you know, or if you're not giving that other person a chance to talk, or, you know, or you using your ears to listen, you know, to make sure that, you know, you're not missing anything and you're giving them that type of respect, mm-hmm. you know.
I totally agree. Wouldn't you say it's safe to say more times than not, it's good to use your mind, but more times than not, we so mental as beings, mm-hmm. we can overthink, we can oversimplify. Right. A situation and mm-hmm. turn it to a dilemma. It could be a regular situation, mm-hmm. but by us overthinking it, we turn it to a dilemma. So like with the situation with my daughter's mother, mm-hmm. I was overthinking it. I oversimplified a situation that should have been so simple.
Right.
You know what I mean? I should have just got out the car, said, hey, what's up? How you been? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, did some small talk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Say, asked her how my daughter's doing in the home, got some, you know what I mean? And I realized that what was going on, I didn't speak to the mom for like a full year from last January. So that whole time, I'm just going off of what my daughter told me. And you know, sometimes kids ain't gonna give you the real thing. So I can only imagine what my daughter has omitted from me. But if it's her mom, her mom's not gonna omit it because she's gonna tell me like, yo, you're her father, this is what's been going on. So I was like, yo, look what I did for that whole year. I missed out on all these things. Yo, so many things was coming to my mind after I apologized. I'm like, yo, you was a fool. But thank God you listened to your big bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? Shout out to the big bro, because if big bro ain't telling me shit, man, I would have been there. I would have picked up this Friday again and not got out the car and not say shit, you know what I mean? And kept my fingers up to her like, yo, have you too, have a like,
yeah.
But it shouldn't be that way, man. Because the same way I laid down with her and got her pregnant is the same way I should be able to hold a conversation with her. We beings for a reason. We not human. I digress. We celestial beings, but in the society, we're known as human beings. So as that, why not act as such? You know what I mean? We're not mammals. We're not dogs or cats. Right. So why am I acting like one towards the daughter of my mother? No, that's, yeah, the mother of my daughter.
Right.
Like, why?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm going to evolve, let me evolve. Let me. I'm holding myself back from my evolution by doing that. But by me apologizing, I grew even more.
Right.
By apologizing. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And then, you know, let's elevate the conversation even more when we think about what's in the name. You know, what do you call yourself?
I call
myself God. Call yourself a God, if you're going to call yourself man, then there's some attributes that go along with man, God, thug, nigga,
Ashe.
Savage.
Ashe.
All of those attributes carry. So
Ashe.
Whatever name that you associate yourself with, that's what you're going to be. Like I said, words are powerful, but
so powerful.
What do you call yourself? What do you assume of yourself, and what attributes are there that you follow? You know, so when you look at it and you say, hey, I'm a nigga, I'm a thug nigga, you know, what attributes follow?
Yeah.
You know, when you say you are a man, what attributes follow? When you say
Facts.
That you are a God,
Facts.
What attributes follow that name?
Facts.
You know, so what state of being are you in? So can you expect respect as a nigga, thug? You know, what you're not going to get the same type of respect.
Facts.
So it was this conversation that we had a long time ago. It has always been one of those conversations that we always, nowadays, it's an even dicier conversation. And this conversation is like this. If we sitting here, right, and we see this young lady walk by, and it's going to be double-sided. It's going to be the woman's, her point of view, man's point of view,
yeah, and the truth.
And the truth. So, but then you're going to have it from different point of views, right? Nowadays, we see women try to flip it and make empowerment off of how they look. You know, they feel that they're empowered by shaking that ass. They feel that they're empowered by showing all of their goods and talking a certain way. You know? So, back to our conversation. If you see a woman walking by, and we just all out here kicking it, and we see a woman walk by, and she has on some sweatpants, you know, a hoodie, you know, she might have a shape up under there. How would we, 9 times out of 10, how would we approach her? A lot of folks will say, oh, niggas gonna be niggas. They're gonna approach her disrespectful either way.
Yeah.
True and not true.
Not true.
So, we're going to see how she's presenting herself, right? And I'm going to go back to the name, and then I'm going to go back to the uniform. So she has sweatpants on, a hoodie. She's walking by, a beautiful young lady. And somebody comes up to her and, hey, how you doing? You know, a lot of times, 9 times out of 10, she may not get the same reaction as girl number 2.
That's
so
true.
She walks by. She got booty shorts on. Her ass cheeks are hanging out both sides. Her bra is too small. Them jokers are jumping out. They about to fall out.
Fall out.
They about to fall out. Now she knows she cute, so she's taking the time to walk by and to switch real hard for her, for dudes to be like, you know. So when they see her, they kind of confused in their head. They're like, damn, why she got all that hanging out? So. And a dude's mind is like, okay, perception is everything.
Everything.
We perceive you as somebody that don't really respect yourself because you got all that hanging out. And since you're advertising it, you must be trying to give it away.
Well, I came up with a word back in the days for a chick like that. I would have, back in the days in Brooklyn, I would have called a chick like that. I would have said she got that train aura.
Gotcha.
If you pick it up, anybody who knew. Dudes from the hood. When we say train, what right. we mean?
Right.
And she got that aura to her. I want to say she got that train aura to her. So like now, you know, when back in the days when we see a show, hey yo Ma, right. What's good, Ma? How are you? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? That's the cat call.
Right.
Now I'm saying peace queen.
Right.
Whether you in booty shorts, whether you know you fully clothed.
But let's get back to that convo though. Now, do you think who's gonna get more respect?
The shorty with the hoodie and she gonna get the most.
But we gonna play devil's advocate because the women will say, nah, I ain't gonna get up. I'm gonna get the same respect as her in the booty shorts. Then they gonna come at me the same exact way. Now we already understand that as males and as men, that ain't gonna happen.
It's not.
We not gonna jump out there. The same is not gonna be the same reaction. And I tell it to you like this, right? Different uniforms determine the amount of respect that you give someone.
Yeah.
So if she has a police uniform on, right? And she walking by. The other chick has on the booty shorts and nobody can get a number. She act like, oh, I'm not talking to you. And somebody get mad, jump out there and want to smack her or smack her ass because it's all out. Will they do the same thing to the woman in the police uniform? I doubt it.
You're getting cuffed immediately.
I doubt it. Right.
You're getting cuffed immediately.
The thing is, we equate.
But the woman in the uniform, we ain't going to say jack to.
Right.
We might just hit her with the oink oink sounds.
Right.
Because, you know, cats in the hood, they're already looking at her like she's the op. So you're like, what up, oink oink?
Right. But then at the same time, we equate sometimes what it looks like to the amount of respect
we give
that
them.
We give them. You know, it may not be fair, but that's how people look nowadays. They look at what you have on to determine the amount of respect that they will, you know, give to you. Let me cut this off real quick. So if you're not a prostitute, why are you wearing the prostitute's uniform? You confusing me, cuz I just saw one down the road.
Down the road.
And she looked just like that, but you wearing exactly what she's wearing. That is a controversial statement, right? A lot of women are gonna get upset about that, be like, what are you talking about? I can wear whatever I want
to
wear.
Yo, shout out to the homie who used to be on Linden Boulevard.
But let's be real. Let's be real. What you wear, the outside sometimes tells you a lot about what's going on inside.
Ashe.
It tells you a lot about what's going on inside.
Ashe.
So you can't tell me that you want the same respect or the same reactions that you would get from, you know, someone else that's wearing all their clothes versus someone that has their clothes, like little to no clothes on. So it's up here.
It definitely starts up there.
We have to think the same way. How do we carry ourselves? Because people are looking, like, especially for us as men and children, having children, is that how do we carry ourselves? How do we talk? And how do we carry ourselves? And how will people take us? The other factor, we know that this right here is somewhat very, very dangerous nowadays. in the climate in which we're living in, right? You know? So this could either be a death sentence or it could be liberation or it could be freedom. It just all depends on how you carry it. So that comes back to character too, you know? Yeah. It's how you carry yourself which will sometimes dictate, sometimes unfortunately, it don't matter what you do, you know, is going to happen. But 9 times out of 10, is how you carry yourself, how you respect yourself, and how you approach the situation is going to be, you know, how, you know, is going to determine how those things kind of come out. But our job as men, our jobs as fathers, is to help our kids through those situations, you know, because if they going rah-rah, we going rah-rah, they going rah-rah, you know, we can't help them.
We can't.
You know?
We definitely can't.
We have to pass down something of a characteristic of a thinking, you know, man and woman. We have to educate our kids on being sensible, you know, and then also just having a common sense, you know, we wouldn't tell them. We would give them the advice of walking down a dark alley at night by
themselves. Oh,
you know, that's stupid.
Super stupid.
You know, so we have to make sure that what we deliver and what we give to our kids is something sensible, you know. And then also, like I said, raising a conversation is what it looked like sometimes. As a man think of, so is he. So what made you think that was cute to put on? What's in your mind to think that if you walking around with your ass out, that you demand respect from all people and you don't look a certain way to others where they mistaken you for somebody else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when we are on a mission of finding that woman, you know, we have to kind of keep that in mind. Like, hell, how did I meet her? You know, how did I meet her and what are her morals, you know? We have to think about that. We can't just look at the package and be like, oh,
hell. I met her at the club. we was in the VIP section. Oh, Lord, man. You are who you meet.
Right.
Hey, like my homie says, man, you attract who you are.
Right.
That's the people you attract. You attract who you are, and like I'm big on the fact that, like, yeah, I attracted a lot of crazy women because I was crazy. I attracted a lot of disrespectful women because I was disrespectful. So, you know. And then when I was getting the disrespect from that woman, I felt some type of way. But I'm not realizing, I'm like, yo, that's who I am. Mm. So of course that's what I'm gonna get.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know, when I see a woman, you know, with her, you know what I mean, not covering up herself, I'm not telling you what, because you women have free will.
Right.
You dress however you feel like you know what I mean? I'm not gonna tell you how to dress. By that same token, you know, I would just love for you queens or goddesses, like, you know, be mindful.
Mm-hmm.
Be mindful. Especially if you got children, be mindful. Because would you let your daughter dress like that?
Right. And some of them may let them. You know, they may think, hey, that's cute. But you're kind of setting yourself up in that manner, is that you have to present yourself a certain way. You know, definitely have to be able to understand that fact.
That's true.
One. Not just say, oh, I'm just going to do it just because. Just understand how you are presenting yourself, you know, to the world. You know, how are you presenting yourself to your future mate? You know, so you have a lot of single women out here and a lot of single men out here. How do we present ourselves to, you know, that other person? You know, so it does matter. But then as adults and parents, we got to think about that. You know, we, you know, don't just walk around with no responsibilities. So we have to now think, you know, how are my actions going to play out and how are my kids going to look at me because I'm acting a certain way, you know? So, you know, this episode was about respect and then also reconciliation, you know?
Yeah.
How can we get to that point where things are festering between, you know, ourselves and the mother of our kids? How do we get to that reconciliation? It's not about her, it's about your kid.
Yeah.
It's about how your kid is gonna grow from this. You know, either they're gonna be damaged for life or they're gonna be repaired and they're gonna see that, oh man, my dad really, you know, put in work the right way, you know.
Facts.
Put in work the right way, and now I can see how a man is supposed to be, you know. You know, especially for little girls, man. You know, you are her first.
You're the apple of her eye.
You know, and what you do as a man is going to affect
big time
how she's going to deal with men for the rest of her life.
Big time. Ashe.
And Ashe. Conversely with your sons, how you deal with your son's mom is going to affect how he looks at other women for the rest of his life.
Facts.
You know?
Facts.
So when you come around, if you're in that situation where if you have to come around and your son is not with you, you have to show him.
That is true.
You know, because you don't want him to be, I'm petty and beefing with this woman. don't want him to grow up to be that way, you know? Definitely don't want him to grow up to be that way, you know? You want him to grow up and say, okay, I seen my dad. Even though my dad wasn't with her, he still respected us.
Still respected us.
So I have the utmost respect for my mother, and I have the utmost respect for other women, because other women are potential mothers, daughters, sisters, aunties, grandmothers, you know? They are, you know, the creators in this world. So I have to respect my creation first. Because if you don't respect your creation first, your creator first, then where would you be in life? You know?
Facts.
Where would you be?
Especially your mother. That's your, right. That's queen mama.
Yep. And, you know, I was taught that respect your mother and your father.
Yep.
So you will have long mother. Life on this earth.
Yep.
You know? So no matter what the situation is, and especially if that parent has turned their life around, we have some issues where we may have some parents that did something bad to the other parent. But as long as you live, there is always time for reconciliation and atonement. Mm-hmm. You know, you can atone and you don't have to feel like a sucker. And I think that's the biggest part about biggest, men and egos biggest, that man will that, feel like a sucker.
That ego, that ego is a motherfucker, guys. You really and truly that whole year, mm-hmm. I ain't speak to the mother. I let my ego fester. I let my ego get bigger in the process. Mm-hmm. Not realize, and the funny thing about it, that whole time, something deep inside me was telling me, like, yo, squash this. Mm-hmm. Squash this thing. Funny thing about it, the mom had texted me months ago about something for my daughter. I never responded. Mm-hmm. I never responded. To the point, I didn't respond so bad, I deleted the text. You know what I mean? Wow. I didn't, you know, anybody with an iPhone, mm-hmm. you know when you could read the text when it's, that's what I did, I held on, press it. I'm like, okay, that's what she's saying. And I'm like, all right, fuck that bitch. You know, I got shit to say. Man, that text sat there with the blue dot.
Right.
It sat on my phone for months. When I was tired of seeing it, I just swiped left and deleted it. And I'm like, oh. And then when OG telling me, like, yo, I'm like, yo, I was a sucker this whole time. You remember I sent you the text? Yeah, I'm like, yo, thank you for telling me. That was some sucker shit on my part. I was a sucker for that. And holding my ego towards the woman, like, listen, you older than her. I had to keep telling myself, I'm older than this woman. When I met her, she was younger than me. I thought I could have molded her. You know what I mean? But I was busy doing so much, man. I was with this chick, that chick. But, you know, looking back at it now, I'm extremely grateful. I'm extremely grateful I apologize.
Right.
I'm extremely grateful I listened to my big bro with my heart. I'm extremely grateful that my daughter seen that. So now I just created a different atmosphere. I created a new plot in how a man should be. Like, I showed her that it's okay for a man to apologize. And by me apologizing, I never had a problem apologizing to my daughter. I always apologize to her because I wanted her to be able to apologize to others. So me being a, you know what I mean? But just doing that was so refreshing for me because I felt great. Mm-hmm. I felt super great. Like, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
If I go this far, I might apologize again to her. If she give me okay, cool, I'm cool. Hey, listen, you ain't got to forgive me. I forgave myself.
True.
As long as I forgave myself, I am A-okay.
As long as your daughter has seen that change, you know, and she understands that change. Just yeah. Like you say, hey, don't say that to mama petty, you know. You got to change that narrative.
Yeah.
And we have to be a part of that narrative, you know. Yeah. We all, you know, the sucker shit is when you are avoiding the conflict.
Facts.
You know, but what John Lewis said, you know, get into good trouble.
Right. Gotta get into good trouble. You know, and it is good trouble.
That is.
Because it's for your child.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
That's so, the best trouble.
Best. Yeah.
Because you have a little portion of you mm-hmm. that's out there. You have a little you out there. What are you showing that little you? Mm-hmm. That little you is about to be a grown you.
Right.
That's an extension of yourself. So if that child is an extension of yourself, wouldn't you want that child to be the greatest extension of yourself? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Come on. Let's be better.
Yes,
sir. Parents, let's be better. To all the queens out there, if you got a problem with the king, he's a deadbeat. You know what? Squash all that. Right. See what you can do. For all my fathers out there, if you feel like the mom ain't shit, you know what I mean, holding you back from your child, F all that. Squash that.
Right.
What are you going to do from here on out?
Right.
Forget the past.
Right.
Because we hold on to the past and we can't get no further.
Right.
We hold on to the past and we cannot evolve to our greatness. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do?
And then also, use it as a teachable moment.
Right.
If you have an issue with the baby mama, right? And maybe you might be in my situation, right? Where I have custody of my kids. So if we had a rift and we had issues, right? I would sit down and tell my daughter that, hey, because she did not do that, or she said, hey, I can't do that, you don't be like that, you know? So I'm not saying that she's bad, just don't follow that particular model of being. Don't be like that. Aspire to be better, you know? And then say, hey, they have a problem, we're still gonna pray for them.
Yeah.
We're still going to love them through their issues.
Speak life into them.
Always. So as if that's the mother and the father's no good, because I've seen some situations in that where the father does not want to have anything to do with their kids, right? The mother has to sit down and tell the kids, unfortunately, he's not doing his job, right? But we're going to move on from that. You won't hear me talking about him.
No.
I'm not going to throw nothing on him. I'm not going to throw salt on his name. It is what it is, but I'm going to show you what a man is supposed to be like. You know, you got a good example of what he's not supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Now I have to show you another example of what those a real examples man is supposed first. To be like. Right. So, you know, it always has to be a teachable moment, and it shouldn't be where you're laying down this hate and just getting mad and then you're developing someone like me as a young kid. You know, I tell my kids, look at me at 8, look at me at 15, look at me at 17, 19, 23, 24. You know, I'm a hurt kid and I'm taking my hurt out on other people, you know.
Hurt people hurt people.
Right.
Hurt people hurt people.
So I say, I don't want to be that, and I don't want to see that again, you know? I don't want to have that repeated. So I don't want to have my daughter out here upset and mad and my son out here upset and mad and using that as a crutch and saying, well, because I ain't had my dad, because I ain't had my mom, then fuck it, you know? So you can't be that way, you know? So we have to kind of elevate the conversation and look at it for what it is. Stop being negative, you know? Bring some positivity into the world, you know.
Negative Nancy, right. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Like, we already got trauma.
Yeah.
Why we got to add any more additional trauma to our children? Because by raising, we don't even have a handbook on parenting. There's no parenting 101.
Right.
The way we're raising our children is not the right way or the wrong way because we don't know. So why we want to give them our traumas? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Our children going to get their own traumas. You know what I mean? Right. We don't need to add to the, come on, let's be better than that, man.
And then experience is the best teacher, man.
It is.
You know?
It is.
And, you know, one thing, what would happen a lot of times is I would hear parents say this, oh, I'm going to let them go through it. I'm going to let them go through it. Nah. What Jay say? I went through it, so hopefully you don't have to do that, right?
Right.
So the what happens is that you're not supposed to just say, okay, sink or swim, nigga. I'm just going to throw my kid out there and let them go through it.
They'll figure out how to swim.
Because different strokes for different folks. What you survive could kill the other person.
Yeah.
You know, the other person wouldn't be able to survive what you went through. So now you got to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And what we fail to understand sometimes as adults is that our kids a lot of times are not in the same situation that we were coming up.
Facts. You know?
So
facts.
We can't teach from that standpoint really anymore. Yeah. We got to kind of operate on a whole different level and really teach them better, you know, and really expose them to, you know, real life soon. You know, we don't have to wait. We can educate them soon.
Exactly.
Sooner than later. We can educate them sooner than later, but also be real to the point of showing them how to operate within this space, you know, healthier, you know, a healthier way, you know.
That is true, yeah. Because I feel that at this moment in time, you know, our children, they're, like I said, they're a reflection of us. So everything we got to do with it, positive intentions.
Yeah.
Like from this, I can say I've been doing this for the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
I call my children king and queen. Sometimes I even call them God and goddesses. And what I do, I know how words are powerful, how there's magic. There's magic in words. There's power in words.
Mm-hmm.
Words are spells, like spelling,
right?
Spells. You know what I mean? And everything I say towards my child, it has to uplift them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Every phrase I use them, I put them in a sentence, it has to be an impactful sentence, because I don't want my children to go through what I went through. Like, being raised by, I have both parents, but moms raised us like a nigga. Because moms wasn't raised with love.
Right.
But can I blame that on her? Nah. Just because she wasn't raised with love, that's not her fault.
Right.
Our parents didn't know how to raise her with love. And, you know, coming out from an island of Haiti,
mm-hmm.
where the culture is strict.
Yeah.
Anything you could do to diminish the name of the family, if you're bringing shame to the family, you could be eradicated from the family.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So knowing how the culture is and whatnot, you know what I mean? Like, I don't blame my mom. Like, yo, my mom, I didn't deserve love. I was a fucked up kid. You know what I mean? I was a badass child. Think about it. I wouldn't have loved me neither. I probably would have kicked my ass too. You know what I mean? You know, shoot, the old me, man, listen, if I seen me around my daughter, the old me around my daughter, man, I'm bringing all my guns. I'm bringing a bazooka. I'm shooting out this nigga. If I see the new me, uh-huh. I'm going to invite him in. I'm like, right, come on in, okay? Let's talk. Let's build.
Right. But it's what you pour into your daughter where it would be the difference between her picking that type of man or not.
Facts. You know? Facts.
So you definitely have to set the example.
Set
the bar high, but at the same time, be that example and be the person that you're not the hypocrite, you know, because you can't say and do something. I always tell my kids, saying and doing are two different things. So because somebody's talking about it,
uh-huh.
it has to even up. It has to be up. The doing and the saying has to match up. Yes. So always think that, because then that way you never get tricked, you know. Yep. Somebody say, oh, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that, I'm going to give you. Well, we got to see this. We have to see it. You going to say it? Now do it. And if those two things don't match up, they ain't for you. So saying and doing is two different things. So we have to make sure that we are not hypocritical neither, you know, because kids will check you real quick. Be like, oh, didn't you say?
Now you want to push them in the throat. You want to push them in the throat. Like, yo, damn, I did say that shit. And then and then when you tell the child, well, you know you got caught, you're like, shut up.
Right.
Shut up, I'm the father.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Even I had to stop that too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yo, she's checking me.
Yeah.
He's checking me.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy.
Yeah.
So now I allow my children, you can check me.
Yeah.
You know, but check me with respect.
Right.
Because I'm still your pappy. I'm still your pappy. You know, I still punch you in your throat if I had to.
You know, that comes with time, man. And then that comes with being the person to look past those things and look at your kids as they grow and say, Dad, what type of kid are they going to be? What type of adult are they going to be? And have I done enough to make sure that they are? I remember one thing that my dad told me. He said, I can't get any type of credit for who you have become, you know? And that was powerful, you know?
Supremely.
That he could say, I don't have no credit for that.
And you get you it, know? And it's from an OG.
Right.
From the motherland, an OG and you know how they get.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, because he understood one thing. He didn't pour anything into me. He didn't give me enough substance. He was so scared that he figured, okay, if I just hands off, I give him a little bit. And the one thing that I gave him was, if you fight, fight to kill.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that I held with me. So My first ever fight out in the street, and I tried to kill this dude that scared me and scared down, you know? And then I said, oh, damn, I can't fight with my peers because I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
So how do I avoid that situation where I don't fight him? Because this is the only thing that's stuck in my head is that when you fight to kill. And he knew that, hey, you know, that's survival, but man, you're going to end up in a grave or behind jail, you know, behind bars for the rest of his life, you know. But he understood that where I was in life and how I had become a young man, that he had no credit. He said, I can't even take any of the credit because I just kind of backed off and I hope for the best. It's not a good way to parent, is to hope for the best, you know?
We got to stop being pessimistic with our children and become more optimistic.
Like, yeah.
I don't care what signs your child showed you that that they might not be the most brilliant child. They might be kind of slow. F all that.
Right.
That is your child. Mm-hmm. You can change that narrative with them. The more you have a optimistic persona about you, that child's gonna pick that up.
Right.
But the more you pick it, you pessimism, what you think that child's gonna do? They gonna pick that up. The child can feel your energy.
Yep.
They are an extension of you. They like the umbilical cord to you. So why, we as parents, we fail to realize that. Mm-hmm. And then when our child tells us, like my daughter, she would text me, she would say, oh, dad, you're pissed. I'm like, yo, Maya, I'm just texting you something. I'm not pissed. Right. She's like, yo, dad, the way you said it.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yo, Maya, you thinking too deep. I'm like, you see, now you becoming me. You becoming mad, mental and inquisitive. You know what I mean? She's like, but your dad, the way you texting me, it sounds like you're mad. Yeah. I'm like, baby, I'm not mad. I'm just tired. I had a long day at work. You know, she's like, dad, no, FaceTime me. So I got to FaceTime and show her how tired I am, and I'm like, baby girl, I'm tired, but I love you.
Right.
Daddy loves you. But she's like, dad, you sound, in the text, I thought you was mad. I'm like, nah, babe, I'm not mad. But you see, I love that.
Right.
She's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
She don't want, you know what I mean? She don't want me to have a certain type of energy. And I can appreciate that.
True.
That's coming from, and I'm like, yo, baby, you want to take care of me when I get old? She's like, I think about it. I get back to you, dad.
Right. Yeah, man. So, you know, it's important to have that line of communication open. And then also it's important to understand who you are, you know, as a man, what you call yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then the attributes that follow that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we as young black men have to understand is that we are the role models in our kids' lives, whether we're present or not, you know? So what we neglect to give to them, you know, they can turn out fine or they can turn out just as bad as we are, and not morally sound, but it is our job to pour into our kids and to make sure, you know, and to also fix those bad relationships. You know, that don't mean that you have to, you know, be with her, but you have to fix those relationships in order for your kids to be healthy and understand that they don't follow the same cycle, you know,
because
they will follow the same cycle, man. You know,
they follow you step for step, lock for lock. You know, I don't want that to happen. Our children got to be greater than us. You know what I mean? And all the beautiful melanated children out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is what Uncle Mo is wishing for y'all.
Right.
I'm wishing y'all infinite life, infinite wealth, infinite prosperity, infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge, mm-hmm. infinite greatness. Because at the end of the day, y'all are our extension. And just know, us as parents, we have broad shoulders. Stand on our shoulders so you got to get to greatness.
Yep.
I'm not saying that our life is over, but we don't have as much time as our children do.
True.
They have much more time than us. So let's, you know what I mean? Let's keep mm-hmm. speaking life into them. Let's, you know what I mean? Let's stop being saying, oh, I'm afraid what's going to happen. Like our children's generation, we don't know. That's bullshit.
Right.
They're going to be greater than us.
Mm-hmm.
Speak that. Stop saying that their generation is a lost cause. Nah.
I don't want to be like that OG who used to hate on us when we was listening to 90s rap. Right. Oh, no, you got to listen to Kumo D. You got, I'm like, nah, man, I'm rocking with Wu-Tang and Nas and Biggie.
Right.
No.
Every generation has that. You know, the next generation is always the worst generation, just bad.
Always the worst.
You can't let your foot up off of, you know, the gas, per se. And you can't just, just be not present in your kids' life. You know, you have to be there and you have to make sure that, you know, you help foster a young adult, you know, into greatness, know. And then experience, again, I say experience is the best teacher. So why not share that experience with them, you know, and tell them sitting up in that jail cell, that shit ain't cool. I don't know why you trying to get there is not cool at all. You know,
man, that 12 by 12 box. Yeah. Oh Lord.
Not cool. So we have to change what is cool. You know, Wallow said he controls cool. You know, he's been through it. So he's able to tell folks, you know, about it, you know.
And that brother did 2 decades. Yeah. Oh.
You know, I couldn't even imagine, you know, a week was enough for my ass. Like, oh, hell, let me out.
I barely did 15% of the time that brother did.
Right. And
all together, I barely, like, all the times I did, the 2 bids I did, I barely did 30% of the time he did. And he sat there in 20 years. He had to wallow in his pain and his sorrow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know how many times a brother gets depressed in that?
Yep. And some don't make it, you know? So what are we doing? We're doing preventative maintenance here with our children, with their friends and other kids, you know? So hopefully, you know, when you watch this, you know, you grab something from it. You know, you understand that, hey, you know, you as a youth, and you as a parent, you as a young black male, or even older black male and black female, you understand that, hey, we need to fix these connections. Gotcha. Can't nobody else fix them but ourselves, you know. But we understand that it's going to be preventative maintenance, because if we work on it right now, then we can assure that our kids will be a whole lot better. We can assure that our families start to be better, because you never know that apology that you gave to her, it could have wiped out all of her thoughts of all black men. You feel me?
That is
true.
That
at least the one
that
came and made up for
that is true.
What, you know, problem that you
that
had.
Is true.
You know,
that is true.
That she looks at it and say, damn, I can't think of all black men being a problem anymore.
Yeah.
You can set the example.
I definitely did. You know? I definitely did. And that's thanks to you.
Look,
thanks to you, because
I can't take no credit for it, man. You know, that's divine, you know, intervention right there. You know, who would have known that we would all been sitting around talking that day?
That's true. You know? That is true.
So
that is true.
I can't take any credit for it. You know, God put us in places, the Creator put us in places where we need to be. And it's on us to kind of take advantage of that, you know, to sit there and to talk to one another. And then, you know, those things will come out. You know, but we just have to be a vessel that can be open. You know, I don't know everything. It's just that I knew from my understanding and my experience, I said, yeah, I got to save my son, you know, because he's going down a road of, man, he's upset, he's mad, and he doesn't respect his mother. And I said, nah, we need to
kill
that. You know,
snip that in the butt ASAP.
Yeah. So now I have to show. I can't just get mad at him and keep yelling at him and saying, you got to do this. Man, we went through something where I ripped his whole shirt off of because I was upset that he was mad and didn't want to, you know, get on the phone or whatever. Turn around, the shirt was like $297. Didn't even realize that, you know, it was that particular shirt. So I had to go buy him. I felt bad. So I had to go buy him that shirt again and was like, wow, you know. But I said, I can't keep doing that because I'm just going to build resentment in him.
Big time
he's
resentment.
He's going to grow up and be resentful.
When he get that chance, he's out. He ain't going to look back. He ain't going to want to do with you.
I had to be the man. And I had to say, look, check this out. We're going to call your mother. Why you want to call her? Because I need to show you something. I need to show you how important it is for us to get along, how important it is for her. And then here's the other thing. What we expect out of people, we may not ever get. Right. We're looking for apologies, right? Right. We may not ever get those apologies. No, but I told him as a man, you have to accept people where they're at, right? You have to accept your mom where she's at right now. But you as a man, you have to raise above it and understand that you can take the non-apology, you can take the apology. Regardless, as a son, you have to respect your mother.
Facts.
And then if your dad gives you the green light and say, you're safe, you can do it.
Yeah.
Then let's go and let's approach that. So when he saw me and her talking, he looking like, the hell? Like, what's going on here? I'm telling her about the tea company, and I'm like, look, send me your address, and we'll send you some tea. She like, oh, you gonna put poison in it? I'm like, nah. So she like, well. So she told my daughter one time, she said, look, whenever you're talking to me, make sure your dad not around, because it feel weird. So I'm already building that relationship. I'm already chopping down walls and building the relationship and making sure that it's open conversation. I don't care about what happened before. We both live it. This is for the kids, man.
For the kids, you know? Man. All the things I told my daughter's mom, you know what I mean? After pass, let's start anew. A new slate, new sheet in the notebook. So,
right,
let's go, parents. Yeah. Let's be great, man. Like,
and we can do it. And again, it don't make you a chump. You the chump the other goddamn way. If you don't get up and approach the situation as a man and talk, you know, you sitting in the car.
I'm sitting in the car, man. Yo, that shit could have been on fire. The way I was feeling that day, that chick could have been on fire. I wasn't hopping out that car to even spit on her. Man, I would have told her, just stop, drop and roll, shorty. You be all right. You got this.
Right.
You superwoman.
But what does it do to your manhood? You not a man. You don't have the attributes of a man. Yeah.
I was a true sucker.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think at that moment, if you looked up the dictionary, you'd find my face smiling.
Right.
As that sucker, because I did some sucker shit, man.
Right.
I spoke to my father about it, and I was telling my father how I felt like I was a sucker. My pops was like, hey, you said it. It ain't come out my mouth.
Right.
You said it. It ain't come out my mouth. You know what I mean? So I'm like, your pops, you ain't have to agree with me.
Right.
I'm just venting to you. Like, nah, man, you said it, man. You know, but I must agree that was bad on your part.
Right.
He's like, I didn't raise you to... But he's like, I'm proud of you because you took that step.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you because you listened to your friend. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Man, listen, I'm here, man. I'm ready.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the type of work that we have to do. And then, you know, this platform here is to definitely give another view of how we are. Another view of what type of conversations that we can have as young black men.
We elevated men. Yeah. We highly elevated. Man. Yeah. We ain't the same.
Yeah, so we can actually give that. And I always say young because it's a mindset.
We are young.
Remember, we have ancestors that live over 900 years. Yeah, we're still babies. Immature. We're still babies.
We babies, you know? Man. Listen, 40s is the new 20s.
Right.
40s is the new 20s. Man, look how we look young.
Right.
We still look young, man. Young ladies, that don't mean you gotta come talk to us, you know what I mean? You gotta be 30 and above, you gonna come holler. You know what I mean? You gotta have, I don't wanna smell Similac on your breath.
Right.
I'm just playing.
Yeah.
I'm just playing.
So, you know, hopefully what we have said and what we shared, you know, in this episode has touched someone in a way where they look at it and they said, damn, I'm doing it all wrong, you know, because I had to say to myself, damn, I'm doing it all wrong. And what was my motivation? My motivation was to save my kids because I knew that this would be a domino effect. And later on, it can affect him in such a way that he's going to meet 13-year-old me that don't like nobody talking about his damn sister. You're going to meet 17-year-old me that's ready to put the work in and go get them hammers, you know. And then 21-year-old me where, hey, you gonna have to help me bury this.
21-year-old me was like, fresh out ain't nothing to right. go back. I was on that type of time.
Right.
Like, yo, hey, you fellas, man.
Uh-huh.
If you did on one of our daughters, man,
yeah.
We carry.
Right.
You better come correct.
Yeah.
You better come correct. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You better have love in your heart.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna treat you like Will Smith and Bad Boys too.
What? Look at him in the 30s. But yeah, you know, we definitely have to be the stewards of our family and our lineage and our mm-hmm. legacy. You know,
our
seeds are our legacy, but what type of legacy? Are we gonna leave? My mom always used to say, "Yeah, you're a man." But what type of man are you? Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to think and we have to be intentional in everything that we do. Like my brother said, he uses intentionality on his vocabulary.
Yep.
So when he talks to people, he rises their esteem mm-hmm. always. He doesn't always. Say, hey, nigga. He say, hey, God. Hey, sister. He don't say, bitch. He say, hey, goddess, queen.
You see that in my text, in my the way I approach, the way I talk. You know, I had to change that because I realized when you say that to somebody mm-hmm. and they're not used to hearing that, it makes them pause. It makes them cause to pause. Like, mm-hmm. why is he calling me that? Because if I see myself as that and I see you as me, mm-hmm. I see that in you too.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So mind elevation and, you know, using that to elevate the next person. Then also is what you put out, you know. They say, you know, there is in the lessons that basically what caused hell, famine, earthquakes, and, you know, the whole gambit, you know, is in the mind of the man. Man controls that. Man makes that happen, you mm-hmm. know. So we got to understand that if man is that powerful in our thoughts, then what can we create or what can we destroy?
So much.
You know, we have to, you know, take heed and understand that, hey, we are the ones that, in our thoughts, we create life or death. In our tongue is life or death. In our thoughts is how we control our body. And where the mind goes, the body shall follow.
But check this out, big bro. A lot of people don't know what's short for man, manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
What's short for woman, a woman manifests. And it's not woman, it's womb.
Yeah.
Womb man.
Yep.
She's a bearer of life. You know what I mean? When you get men in plural, M-E-N, that's mental.
Right.
You know what I mean? And where does manifestation start? Starts in the mind. So.
And where does it cultivate? In the womb. It's growing.
In the womb. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if we know we man and woman and we manifestors of life and all things underneath the sun, let's manifest greatness into our life. Let's stop manifesting pessimism. Let's manifest optimism. You know what I mean? Problems don't last forever.
Right.
So whatever problem you're going, it's only temporary. Shit. The temporary mm-hmm. could be a month.
Right.
But that's a temporary month.
Mm-hmm.
The other times is going to be beautiful.
Right.
Now we just got to stay the course.
Yeah. And then speak life. So the words are intentional to speak life. You know, people say, oh, it's just corny. Just say,
nah
it's not life. Corny. It, your words are very powerful. You know? So how they fall, It all depends, you know. And then another thing, parents, stop calling your kids trifling, okay? What's in a name, you know? You know, think about what's in a name and what weight that carries, you know? You say you dumb, you stupid. What type of weight does that carry? And then you get mad because they can't elevate past what you just called them. You called them dumb, they just standing there stupid and being dumb. And acting ignorant, you know? So we have to understand that the words that we use will either kill or, you know, help that kid grow. So think about that. Even if you came from an abusive relationship or grew up that way, how you can change it is just in the words that you speak, you know? And it's just that simple. Oh, well, I'm not educated. I don't have this. I don't have that. You have words. You have a brain. You have a mind.
So much worse.
You know, use it the right way, you know?
Shit, I had to tell my old girl earlier today, she said, I'm broke. I'm like, yo, half a please. You ain't broke. You just financially strapped.
Right.
That's all you are. Right. You financially strapped. You far from broke.
Right.
If you're broke, then you won't see how that word extends itself. Mm-hmm. You're not broke. You're just financially strapped. That's it. Stop saying you're broke. Mm-hmm. The more you keep on saying you're broke, you're going to be even broker. your brokenness is going to extend a few months. I had to tell her, stop saying that shit. Like, you pissing me off. But she's like, I didn't say nothing wrong. I'm like, you didn't hit it. That five-letter word.
Right.
That's a devil word. Don't be using that word with yourself, man. Treat yourself better with your words, man. Mm-hmm. We don't be knowing how we putting curses on our goddamn self. Come on, man. Let's do better. Right. Stop calling ourselves bitches. Women, stop calling yourself bitches. You're not bitches. That's a female dog. I got a female dog. Her name is Bella. And I don't call her bitch. I call her Queen Bella. And she's not even human. Come on. Right. Come on, man. We got to be better, man. We got to be better. You see what it says on this hat? Protect your energy.
Protect your energy.
Your words protect your energy. Let's do better.
Yes, indeed.
Let's do better, guys.
Peace.